One of the features of, I was going to say modern life, but I think it's a feature of life throughout the ages, but it's particularly evident in modern life, is the issue of duplicity. People living double lives, or maybe even more than double lives. People are one thing in the work situation, they're another thing in their family situation, perhaps a different thing in their church situation, and very much so in today's world, they are something different on social media. Particularly on social media, people are living these false lives, putting up a false image of themselves, and actually it's nothing like the real thing. I think if Bunyan was alive today, he would be calling us Mr. Facing multiple ways, not just a Mr. Facing both ways. And one of the sad things is that that is a real path to misery. When you are trying to live a life that is so compartmentalized and so different, you are so conflicted within yourself that it certainly will cause you misery. The converse of that is true as well. I believe that what Paul is showing us, one of the things that he shows us in Philippians, is that the living of a consistent life is one of the key ingredients to a joyful life, a joyful Christian life. If we just think of Paul when he wrote to the church in Philippi, the circumstances he was in were by no means ideal. He was under house arrest. He wasn't sure whether he was going to receive a sentence of death or whether he was going to be set free. He had those who were trying to stir up trouble for him. Even in their preaching of the gospel, we read that they were trying to stir up trouble for Paul. And so his circumstances were far from the kind of ideal circumstances that you and I would think are a prerequisite for us to be joyful. And yet, Paul writes this epistle, and it's come to be known as the joyful epistle. It is a joy that Paul, it's with joy that Paul speaks, and he implores the Philippians to rejoice in the Lord. And so the right the way through the epistle, joy is pouring out of Paul. And I believe that that is because one of the reasons why Paul could be that joyful in those circumstances was because of his consistency. If you turn over to Philippians chapter 4 and verses 8 and 9, we see that consistency there. Paul says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all that you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Paul puts forward all of these things that they are to think about and then holds himself up as the expression or the example of those very things. Keep putting into practice all that you learnt and received from me. I taught you these things. I gave you these things. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Paul wasn't the kind of person who came along and said, you do what I say, not what I do. Paul could say with absolute confidence, do what I say and do what I do, because what I say is what I do. It is a consistency in Paul. And so as he now writes to the church at Philippi, he's encouraging them to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice in the Lord. We see it there in chapter 3, And verse 1, whatever happens, my dear brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you these things, and I do to safeguard your faith. Again, he says the same thing in chapter 4 and verse 4. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. And so I believe that as Paul is calling them to rejoice, what he's doing in chapter 1 and verse 27 is he's laying a foundation on which they can build and on which they can be joyful and on which they can build their rejoicing. And what he does is he calls for a multifaceted consistency. That's what he's calling for. You need to be consistent, and here are the ways that you are to be consistent. And so the first thing we see that Paul is calling for in verse 27 is he's calling for a prioritized consistency. If you're going to be joyful, it's going to require you to be consistent, and it's going to require you to be prioritized towards consistency. So the New Living Translation says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel or of the good news. The Greek word is monon, only. This way, only. Or as some translations have it, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Some translations put it just one thing, just this one thing, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Paul says you must have this as a priority to be living your lives in a manner that is worthy of the gospel, that is consistent with the gospel. The second thing that he's saying to us is he's saying you are to live a life that is an ambassadorial in terms of its consistency. He says, as citizens of heaven, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news of Christ. The Greek word that is used for the citizenship that he's referring to is the word from which we get our word for politics. And so Paul is saying, in your policies, in the way in which you live your life, in your conversation with others, as you are living your life, you are to live that life in a way that makes people realize that you are a citizen, not of this world, but of heaven. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. You are of heaven, and therefore conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of your homeland, of where your citizenship resides. In other words, we are as Christians to be living as expats. Sue and I realize that we are soon ourselves going to be in Colchester as expats. And I'm pretty sure that when we get there, many of you are going to be seeing many things about Sue and I that will immediately tell you that we are from South Africa. There will be expressions that we will be using that you will immediately say, ah, South Africans. Just as somebody who might be in your congregation would come in one morning and say, good day, mate, you would immediately know that person's Australian. Well, when Sue and I say things like now and now and just now, those are things we'll tell you that we are South African. And we live our lives naturally. That will be a natural thing that will happen for Sue and I. And I trust that as Christians, it's natural for us to live our lives as those whose actual citizenship is in heaven. I have a lot of my family in Australia, in Sydney. My brother moved over there in 1978, and his granddaughter is now working. When she's obviously was not born at that stage. She's now working at a Boerewors and Biltong shop in Sydney. Now, a Boerewors is a sausage which is made here in South Africa. A literal translation is a farmer's sausage. And Biltong is a kind of dried raw meat that we as South Africans absolutely love. And there she's working in this Boerewors and Biltong shop, and all these South Africans keep on coming into this shop to get the delicacies that they want, and so that they can continue to live their lives like South Africans while living in South Africa, in Australia, upholding their South African traditions. Paul is saying that when we as Christians come into contact with those in the world, they should see immediately that we are citizens of heaven, that our citizenship is in heaven. The third thing that Paul is calling for is he's calling not just for a prioritized consistency and an ambassadorial consistency, but he is calling for a gospel consistency. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Well, what does he mean by worthy of the gospel? Well, the word worthy, or the word that in the Greek that is translated worthy, is the Greek word axios. It's the word from which we get our English words axle and axis, and many others, and from which we get the English word axiom. And Paul is saying that we are to live our lives in a way that is axiomatic with the gospel. What is an axiom? An axiom is a self-evident truth. It's a self-stating principle, a self-authenticating truth. When I think about it, I think of the scales, the old scales that we used to have in the old days, where there was a pivot point, the axis point, and two arms going off from that, and then your two trays that hung from those arms. And the way in which you measured something is if you put a 1 pound weight on the one side of the scale and you poured a pile of sugar into the other side of the scale, and the scale was in equilibrium, well, you had a self-evident truth that that was 1 pound of sugar on the other side of the scale. It was an axiomatic truth, a self-evident truth. And so what Paul is saying when he calls us to live a life worthy of the gospel, he's saying live a life that weighs up with the gospel. On the one side of the scale, you've got everything that Christ is putting in to your life, all that he has done in your life to make you a citizen of his kingdom. So on the other side of that scale, your life should be measuring up to that. It should be showing that. It should be demonstrating that to everyone. What, in other words, what Christ works into my life, I need to be working out in my life. Paul says in chapter 2 and verse 12, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The gospel is not what we do. The gospel is what Christ has done. You and I live a life that is worthy of the gospel, not by trying to be righteous by works of the law, but we live a life worthy of the gospel by living out the righteousness that Christ has put into us, that he lives in us. Religion says, religion works from the outside in. I see what is good, what is required, I do it, and I'm therefore accepted. The gospel is exactly the opposite way around. It's what Christ has done for me and in me that makes me acceptable, and those things have an outworking in my life. So in other words, if I'm saved by a gospel of God's free, unmerited grace, then surely I should be living a life of humble gratitude to him. It should be evident that that should be pouring out of me, my gratitude and my humility before him. If we are going to, if we believe that the gospel is a gospel of grace and we're going to preach a gospel of grace to people, well, then we need to be gracious. If we believe the gospel is a gospel of forgiveness, we need to be forgiving. If we believe that the gospel is a gospel of love, we need to be loving. If it's a gospel of reconciliation, we need to be reconciliatory. And what Paul is getting at here, I believe, is this, is if we believe the gospel is a gospel of joy, we should be joyful. And consistency, that consistency is a key ingredient in our being joyful. In the fourth place, Paul is calling for a unconditional consistency. He says, above all, or as I said, some translations say, whatever happens, live a life that is worthy of the gospel. He goes on and he says, whether I come to see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together in one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Whether I come or whether I don't come, whether I just hear about you or whether I actually can be in your presence, your behavior should be the same. Whether I come to see you or only hear about you, I need to know that you are living in this way. It's what he said to the church in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely, or with consistency, if you like. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. Try to please them all the time, not just when they are watching you. As slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. That's true consistency. That is unconditional consistency. It's not just when people are watching or when certain people are watching that I live in this way. It is the way that I live, no matter what happens or what doesn't happen. Whenever it happens or does not happen. In whatever circumstances it happens or doesn't happen. Wherever it happens or doesn't happen, those things must not influence it at all. There must be this consistency, no matter the time, no matter the circumstances, no matter the situation, we must be consistent in that. It's an unconditional consistency, whatever happens. In the fifth place, Paul calls for, I believe, an unwavering consistency. In other words, not only do we make it a priority, but we throw ourselves into it completely. And so he says, above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the truth, which is the good news. There is a commitment to this. They're going to fight together for it. They are going to stand together for this good news. The word that he uses is the word from which we get athletics. We are to be a people who are contending. We are prepared to take up whatever needs to be taken up to fight for this gospel. It requires dedication. Think of an athlete. It requires dedication It requires courage. It requires determination. It requires commitment. No athlete will ever succeed unless there's true commitment, getting up early in the mornings, no matter what the weather, and getting out onto the road to put in the miles that are required, because that is who you are. You are an athlete, you are a fighter, you are a boxer, you are whatever. And in order to succeed at your discipline, you need to be determined and put the effort in. Well, Paul is saying we are to conduct our citizenship in that same way. We are to have that same contending for the gospel as what an athlete has for his sport. So we are to stand firm. Don't be dissuaded from it. Don't be misled away from it. Don't be waylaid. Don't be derailed. Stand firm. No matter what people are saying, stand firm here. And he says we are to stand firm together. It's a unified consistency that he is calling for. The actual Greek word is sunathleo, together athleting, if you like. The prefix sun on a Greek word means together, just as synchromesh and synchronized, synthetic, bringing of things together. Paul is saying we as Christians need to be standing firm, and we need to be standing firm together in one spirit with one purpose, contending for the gospel. If you see a military squad, and I understand that Colchester is a town that has a military base, or is has a number of military bases, if I understand it correctly, associated with the town. And if you look at a military squad being drilled and doing their drills, going through their drills, it's like one man. The feet are coming down together. They are presenting arms in perfect unison, and so on. They are doing it together. Similar to a rowing squad, rowing their canoe or whatever it might be that they are rowing together. You have to be working in unison with that. The picture I believe that Paul would have had here is probably the picture of the gladiators in the arena, standing together and contending together against whatever was being brought against them. Probably standing back to back. I've got your back, you've got my back. And we are standing back to back, and we are contending together. Paul says that's the way we as Christians ought to be. As you are living your life consistently, and I'm living my life consistently, we can stand together, back to back, contending together for the gospel. And it's not just to be an outward show. Paul says we are to be united in spirit. We are to be united in purpose as we fight together in this way, as we contend together. And so, friends, people often ask the question about how can one live a joyful Christian life? I think Paul gives us a simple answer here this evening. One of the key ingredients to living a joyful Christian life is to living a consistent Christian life, where you are not one thing in one circumstance and another thing in another, where you don't do certain things in one situation and do exactly the opposite in another situation. That's not ever going to bring you joy. It's only going to bring you misery. So in order to have that joy in the Christian life, we need to be, no matter what happens, living lives that are worthy, axiomatic, with the gospel. And I'm not talking about sinless perfection here. We fall and we fall often. Part of living a life that is consistent and axiomatic with the gospel is getting down on our knees and confessing our sins before the Lord, knowing that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And as we do that, to rejoice in what the Lord is doing. Living a life consistent with the gospel is upholding what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will continue to do for a sinner such as myself. Paul said, here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Paul lived his life out as an axiom of that truth. May the Lord enable us to live our lives out as an axiom of that glorious truth. Amen.